Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking time to attend my seminar. My name is Eric Sugar. I just hope that everyone's guessed by now. I'm here to present on VMware and long-distance clustering, or cost-effective long-distance clustering. There's always a way to do it with no budget, but when budgets come into play, we need to look at alternatives to find out how to get the job done. Bless you. Quick couple of things to run through. Here's the agenda. I've introduced myself. I'm going to run through a quick scope of what we want to cover today, what we can't cover today. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, there are certain things I won't be able to cover. And we have basically three objectives. We'd like to go into what is high availability planning, what is business continuity planning, never fail as a solution, and a roadmap on how to get you there. So things are in scope for today. We will definitely talk about disaster recovery. We'll talk about business continuity. We'll talk about the never fail solution and how to use that in your environments or in your customers' environments. We will hopefully I can get everyone interacting. I will have some questions for you. I'll need some help. Again, the more you question me, the better we'll get out of it. I will hopefully leave about 15 to 20 minutes in for question and answers. And I'm happy to meet with everyone whenever they need to. I do have a session to run to right after this one. I'm presenting again at 11:30, so we won't have a lot of time right after. That's in 502 ABC. So if you need to meet me after that, you can meet me there. I do have a vendor independent view. I'm not tied to NeverFail. We do have other high availability solutions that we use. So feel free to ask questions that maybe don't reflect great on NeverFail. I will give you the blunt answer of what you need to know. Hopefully we'll cover most of the slides. Some of the slides I may skip over depending on time, depending on how things are going and the information the audience has already. Questions, and hopefully I have the answers to your questions, or I'll find them and get them back to you. Things that we cannot do today. Not sure what happened to the slide. There we go. Can't cover a VM install. Don't have time, and I'm sure, hopefully everyone here has done a VM install or has promoted VMware. I won't be able to cover a detailed install of NeverFail. I'm going to give you some of the basics and the areas you want to look out for. At the end, I'll give you some things that have gone wrong for me. So when you're bashing your head against the wall and you're calling support and going crazy. I will not be able to build your DR business continuity plan in an hour. It takes longer than that. I don't have time to differentiate between all the different vendors. There's 20 or 30 different vendors that do software of this style. So I'll go through a couple of companies we looked at, who we chose, and maybe a quick reason why we chose them. And I did not bring a live demo of NeverFail, but I'm happy to schedule a live demo for you. I have business cards here, or I can get in contact with NeverFail people in your area. So, who are you guys? I have a couple of questions to help me. I just want to see a raise of hands to see who's done the various different things. So who is currently planning DR business continuity? Everyone, almost. Who has the plan implemented? Quite a few less. How many people have experience with clustering? Is it all working for you? Hands went down pretty quick. Fair enough. How many have got clustering on VMware going? No problems? Again, hands are going down. So I guess people have had issues with high availability and clustering solutions out there. Is that fair to state? Anyone else had some problems with their high availability solution? Okay. And does anyone have any expectations of something they want to get out of the seminar? Can you give me a couple of quick points if someone could throw up a hand and say something they want to hear or want to know? It'll help me. Anybody? Yes? Okay. Fantastic. Come on. Hand a shirt. Hold your hand up. We got a shirt for you. Yeah. Dan? Justin, Johnson. So, business continuity versus disaster recovery. Business continuity is keeping your business running. Keeping the users moving, keeping them going when things happen as quickly as possible. Most people are either working on business continuity or disaster recovery. It depends on your application. We have to look at what the business needs are and why we're doing this. Some applications you don't need to do business continuity. They just need to be able to recover in a timely fashion. We'll take a look at basically what applications need this and what don't, how we decide what systems are business critical and not, and does your business lose money when the service goes down? So your intranet may be a great thing, but if it goes down and there's no business impact, people don't get to log in for a couple of days, they miss company announcement, maybe not business critical, we don't need to protect that system. Disaster recovery, it covers the people, the processes, the systems, the facilities needed to recover an event of disaster. So your building burns down tomorrow, what do you do? Or a plane flies in your building, what do you do? Disaster recovery is slightly different. You have to have a testing facility. You have to have test failover. Business continuity, maybe a single system goes down. How do you keep that system up running? Why are we doing high availability? These are stats from the various different companies. One of the other ones is that I believe 53% of businesses that have a failure go to business. 42% are gone within 2 years, and 6% that survive data loss. So we do need to protect our data, and we do need to protect our systems. Where are we going, and how are we going to get there? At the very target in the middle is business requirements. We don't do any of these systems that are a business requirement. They cost too much money, and there's no reason if the business doesn't need it. So if your business doesn't rely on email every day, you have no reason to have business continuity and failover on your email system. Once your business has defined a requirement based on a service provided by the application, we now have to look at what SLA do we have to meet. So if you can survive 4 hours downtime, you're into one scenario. If you can survive 24 hours downtime, you're into a different scenario. If you have to have things up and running within an hour, you're very limited in the options you have. As you decide for the SLAs you need and the applications you need, now you have to look at what application infrastructure and do the budgeting and approval process. Because the company may say, we want 1 hour downtime on our email systems until you show them the bill. They may not want it so much anymore. Part of this whole situation is look at the risk analysis going on, look at what risks you face, and as you escalate up the grid, you escalate up in the dollar factor as well. So the bottom left of the chart, very cost effective, very simple. Back up, ship it off site. I'm sure everyone's doing that today. When you get to user continuity, I'm not sure everyone has the money to fail things over, especially when you get into some geographical solutions. I'm going to go through a quick introduction of clustering, high availability solutions, and what's out there. This is your standard basic Microsoft or Veritas cluster solution. There's basically four types of clustering that are out there. There is high performance clustering, failover clustering, network load balancing, and grid computing. Today we're going to deal mainly with failover clustering or application protection. What we can see up there on the diagram is we have basically your Active Directory, your Microsoft solution, so this time it's Exchange. Most of the products work with SQL, IIS, SharePoint. In your standard cluster architecture, you do need shared storage, and that's where the solutions tend to get very costly. Without shared storage, it's hard to do application failover. So, why would we look at anything other than Microsoft clustering? Microsoft clustering is good, it works. There are no problems with it until you get into either cost or distance. There's a certain skill set that's required for a Microsoft cluster, so your company may not internally have the skill set to maintain a Microsoft cluster or to build it. So Microsoft clustering also works on certain applications. So it works great for SQL, works great for Exchange. When you get out of that, failover clustering can become a little bit difficult. And they're very specific hardware requirements. Who are the alternatives? When you look at alternatives to the solution, we have Neverfail. Veritas has a solution similar to Microsoft's, runs in a very similar way. They do some things a little bit cleaner, some things a little bit more difficult. There's Exosoft, there's Avail, there's dozens more vendors out there. At the time that we looked at partnering with someone and looking for a solution for our clients, Neverfail had a BlackBerry Enterprise failover, which a lot of our clients were finding this is something they needed. And they also had a SharePoint IIS failover. So SharePoint is becoming more and more used in businesses and become more of a business critical application. Those two key things were what moved us towards Neverfail's solution. This was 18 months ago, 2 years ago. So there are people who've got, there's people who've grown and caught up. There are two or three BlackBerry failover solutions available now. BlackBerry seems to be one of the key ones. I'm sure more than half the room has a BlackBerry here or a similar device. Customer demographics. There may be a fit if you're looking at a local implementation, two machines in the same site, if you don't have shared storage, There's also a fit if you need to replicate offsite. So if you have a data center already in Toronto and you have one in LA, and you want to replicate back and forth between the two, Microsoft clustering, Veritas clustering is hugely expensive. If you have limited Microsoft skills, your guys are great. You're a medium, small to medium shop, less than 100 servers. They know how to manage an Exchange server, but they may not know how to manage a clustered server. And either you don't have the time or they don't have the resources to invest into that. It's often small to medium-sized enterprises. It's not a bank that's going to be implementing Veritas. Or sorry, Neverfail. Banks are often looking into a Veritas solution, a geo-clustering solution. They're spending millions of dollars to keep their systems up and running. So we'll take a quick look at a Neverfail architecture. Neverfail basically has three pieces of software that you have at every implementation. We have the Neverfail Heartbeat here. So this is their basic clustering app. It's what pairs the two servers together. On top of each Heartbeat application, you have to add an application module here. There's a list of most of the applications they support. There's a couple of others they're working on right now. Again, the big ones for us were BlackBerry and SharePoint. SQL and Exchange were, they had to be there. It wasn't an option. On top of that, they don't show in this diagram, you also have an application module extension. So your Exchange server, your SQL server, they all have antivirus on them. They're being protected somehow. This module takes that application, protects the antivirus, protects the anti-spam gateway, and fails that over as well. So when you fail over your DR site, everything's there the way it was 20 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago. There's three or four different architectures you can use. So one is a physical to virtual. Neverfail's main design is a failover cluster, shared nothing architecture with multiple networks, no shared storage, and can locate anywhere. When you build it out, you protect a certain thing from physical to virtual. It's just you have your two systems and you put them together in whatever way fits. Benefits is, or your DR site doesn't have to have 20 servers or 15 servers. You can consolidate, get your benefits from server consolidation, and move on. Here's another application where you're going over the WAN as opposed to over the LAN. Have your five or six different applications, fail them all over to one secondary server, a couple of secondary servers. And going all the way, you can virtualize your production infrastructure at your main site, virtualize your backup infrastructure at your DR site, and you can actually mix and match. So you could run production servers in site A and production servers in site B and fail them back across. So if site A goes away, everything moves over. If site B goes away, everything moves over the other way. Any questions or any? Nothing yet? Yes? The product is constantly synchronizing. Depending on whether you're on-site or off-site, there's a compression module that you use as well. So it's syncing over. When the site goes away, you set up your threshold. So if the site goes down for 30 seconds, you may not want to fail over. But the integrity check happens as the files are shipped across, or as the data is shipped across. So when it gets over there, you shouldn't have lost anything at all. Depends on how things go down. You may have something stuck in your firewall or your anti-spam gateway. But the data syncs that way. When it's up, it fails, it comes up. It now becomes your primary site. And when you go to replicate, so you bring your site A back up, it becomes the secondary and you fail over at an off-peak time. We've done it on as low as T1, I believe. It depends on how much data you're doing. For a typical Exchange server with the compression module, you can easily do it on a T1 line. ADSL, no problem as well. Okay, the question was, how does the IP addressing work? There's two different ways. When you're in a local site, the IP addressing, both machines have the same IP address on their public network. One's basically firewalled or protected, your secondary node, and they each have an independent backup or independent private network that they communicate on. So they're communicating that. If server A goes away, server B takes over that. It becomes unprotected and takes over that network. In a WAN situation, we're relying on DNS, so third-party technologies, so something goes down in site A, you're doing a weighted DNS and you're failing over that way. They have independent addresses on both ends, so There are going to be different subnets, different configurations. When the DNS fails over, it takes over, and your connections are all rerouted by DNS. Yes? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Split brain. We'll come up to that. I'll explain what split brain is first, and it's one of my gotchas. So things that happen later. Do you mind if I come back there, or do you want me to add that now? Perfect. The storage is not shared. This is a there is no shared storage. It doesn't work in a shared storage mode. Yep. Yes, they are. Everything's warm. The failover is extremely fast. Your sub sort of 10-minute failover. We have users that have up to, I believe, 500 or 600 mailboxes. So fairly large exchange configuration. As you can scale it out as opposed to scale it, so you'd add another exchange server. You tend to be limited more on exchange best practices as opposed to never fails ability to fail it over. With exchange, your incremental data is not enormous. And you do your primary sync, you don't have to do that across the WAN. So the first time you're syncing, you can do your sync local over network speeds and then move it out. Thank you. Pardon? Yes, we do. It's like 5 minutes behind. How far behind is the secondary site? Typically it's about 5 minutes behind with digest coming on the way up over. Haven't done it, but I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. As long as you can establish IP connectivity between the sites, it's no problem. I'll try to repeat the question. His question was, can you go continent to continent? And the answer is yes, you can go anywhere you want as long as you can get a reasonable amount of IP connectivity. So there's a pretty large pipes now between continents. Yes? Excellent. Yes, it's only for Windows right now. I haven't heard of any plans to go to a Linux operating system. Yeah. You have a choice. So you choose how you want it done. Some people want it fully automated, and other people say, no, I need to do a manual intervention to make this failover. It depends on your business requirements again. It is block level. You're dealing with a mirror, and you connect it through DNS. The question was, are you presenting a virtual server to the end user, or are you presenting mirrors? You're presenting mirrors. Yep. Not the OS. So the OS gets built on each box. You replicate all your exchange data, and then, the question was, what are you replicating? I apologize. You're replicating the exchange data and then any application data that goes on top of that. So your antivirus, your anti-spam, any other application you install on top of your exchange server. But it's a data replication. The question is, how far are the sites and what's the latency? So the sites are Toronto, Montreal, and the latency was, I think I said it before, about sub 5 minutes. Network latency? They were getting, I think they're getting a 1 meg connection back and forth. I don't have latency numbers, sorry. It was a 1 meg pipe. Up and down. Yep. Your exposure on the WAN is all managed by your firewall. So you'd take your normal best practices for your firewall and implement it that way. You'd have to expose, for a SQL, you don't have to expose anything you're doing over a VPN tunnel, hopefully, or some secured tunnel. Pardon? With no tunneling, I wouldn't recommend doing that. You need something to secure your data. Again, it's business data out there. You can't just send it over the internet. I guess the technology would work that way if you're connecting your Exchange server out just on the public interface. In theory, it works that way, but we would avoid that and suggest the customer look into a firewall solution. Yes? Sorry, I didn't... Sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Sorry, the question was, do you need an exclusive network card for a never-fail implementation? The answer is no, you do not. Pardon? You do need two network cards, but they can be two different sets. So you do need two physical network cards at least, one for your internal, for your private traffic, and one for your public traffic. Yep. We have not seen any issues with that. vMotion is no problem. Again, it all depends on your set your thresholds. A vMotion or a DRX move, you don't lose connectivity to the server, so it's not losing connectivity to its fail of repair, and it just runs as normal, same as any other application. Never fail is almost like a client app connecting into the server, is one way to look at it. Sorry, if the question was, how does never fail behave with a DRX or a vMotion? So I don't think I understand the question. The question was, if the application fails on one side, will it fail on the other side? The answer is no. They're two independent boxes. So if the application fails and it registers as a failure, or the application crashes, hopefully you get something there to try and restart the application automatically. And if you do not, hopefully something, like it'll detect that it's gone and fail it over. There's also a manual failover option. Yes. Yes, if you... Exactly. Yeah, so if it's a virus that you have that's crashed your Exchange database, then that is the case where it would. Yes. Failback is very simple. Same as failover. When you fail over to your secondary site, your secondary site becomes the primary server. When you bring your primary site back up, it becomes the passive server, and it gets synced too. You find a down on off-peak usage, and you fail back. No. Exactly. Yes. There is a rollback module. Yes. Yeah, it's another module you have to buy. We have not done a ton of stuff with the rollback module, but there's a data rollback module that says if you want to roll back to certain dates, pick it and go back. Yep. Yes. Never fails. Depending on the demand, they're willing to develop that. Yes, you can customize it. They won't guarantee that it's going to fail over properly until they've done a thorough amount of testing. So they've done a ton of testing on those applications. I think if I go back a couple of slides. Okay, so we'll move on. Or one more? Yep. It was shared storage at one, local storage at the DR site. The shared storage was on a SAN that was virtualized with VMDK files. The question was, what was the storage set up in my example? So VMware and NetWare fit together for your same benefits of server consolidation that you see in your physical site. The same reason you're virtualizing there is reasons you want to virtualize your DR and your NetWare applications. NetWare and VI3, we did cover some of this based on some of the questions. It does work with HA, it does work with DRS. So if your primary site, you have a server that goes down, it's running some of your NetWare protected apps. If you have your threshold set up correctly, or if you have manual intervention set up, you can let that server come back up on a different VM before you fail over to your secondary site. So there are cases where you may not want fully automated failover, you want certain thresholds that you're not failing over all the time. NetWare today does not protect Virtual Center. It can protect the database, but it isn't set up and they haven't built a module yet to protect Virtual Center. So, a typical never fail project plan or project definition runs through about 10 steps here. You run through a project definition with the customer. You have to do some project planning around it. So what do they need? Build their SLAs, build their timelines. How far do they want to go with this? Build their DR process definition. So what is a disaster? So things blow up or one server dies. Is that a disaster? When do they need to fail over? Do a requirements analysis and procurement. So can they use some of the hardware they have? The hardware doesn't have to be identical on a never fail protection. So you could use an older server to protect a brand new server and fail over the older server as long as you can live with the performance degradation as you move across. You may have to do some upgrades to the primary and DR sites to ensure you have enough bandwidth or ensure you have the correct configurations, firewalls, licenses. You need to do a couple of tests. You're going to run a production test. You're going to document everything and close it out. It's a fairly standard project plan. Use your project methodology you're using today to make sure this gets done correctly. Never fail deployment overview. The first thing they have to do whenever you do a never fail implementation, it's called a never fail scope. Like it's server check, optimization, and I forget the last two. It does an environmental review, takes the servers, scans the servers, checks how much data is flowing back and forth. This is where you can drive your need for the compression module, so low bandwidth module, so it uses low bandwidth. You have to do your application testing, so you never want to roll this right out into production. You've got to do some testing with your exchange. Build your test environment, fail over, fail back, see how it goes for each customer. Every implementation is different. The hard speed test, so walk through each piece of the program and deploy it. The big thing here is your thresholds and your application module extensions and your customization. So depending on what apps you're running and what antivirus you're running, these application module extensions are already there or they have to be adjusted. You may have to go back to consulting and get them to rewrite the module. Estimates for implementation. These are rough estimates. It's something that we look at when we're dealing with the client. On the Microsoft clustering side, a lot of the day timelines are fairly similar. The never fails a little bit easier because you're not dealing with shared storage, you're not dealing with fiber channel issues, iSCSI issues. Your equipment costs, typical costs in Canada, I'm from Canada, we're in Toronto, Ontario. A cluster in a box from HP or IBM is, I think, $70,000 to $80,000. You have your software, you have multiple Windows Enterprise licenses, multiple Enterprise SQL or Exchange licenses to get you up and running in a cluster. On the never fail side, your timelines are very similar, but you can do this with two servers with direct attached disk. If you have shared storage, fantastic. If you don't, it's not a requirement. Your software, you can run Windows 2003 standard and protect the application. They're not relying upon the enterprise features of Windows to do this. Same with Exchange or SQL. Exchange and SQL, yep. Never fail, it does the replication. Correct. His question was, does it rely on outside replication or does never fail due to replication? Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you need exchange. Sorry, that should have been two times. Yeah. Two times one of standard, two times exchange standard. You have to have license there because you are replicating to a live system. The difference is the standard versus enterprise. No, it is running. Yeah. It's running and the data is being replicated over. When it fails over, you're failing over the services. So it does have to, it does start the services, but the exchange database, sorry. Services are not running. Services get failed over. Things I've run into. The never fail scope. A lot of customers either don't plan for this or don't expect this. You have to do the scope. You have to give it the time to run. And you have to wait for the data to get back to you. This is also how they generate their licenses. One of the questions earlier was split brain versus, or how does it recover from a split brain? What I didn't go through before was a split brain is, I'll bring up one of those slides. This one's probably the best one here. If your active node fails and your passive node goes down at a reasonably close time and they both come back at the same time, you can get into a situation where both servers believe they're a primary server. When that happens, it's called, never fails, called a split brain. And you have to go then and say, okay, which server do I want as my primary? You force that one to primary mode. You force the other server into passive mode. Reboot that other server. It comes back and it starts replicating data from your current primary server. Yes? Sure. Yeah, it's not a common thing, but it's one of the things that can happen. Yeah. Yes? I don't... No, you shouldn't run into that. It's not going to fail over. If the passive node loses connectivity, similar to a Microsoft cluster, if there's no connectivity on the private network, it's not just going to assume it's in control. You could force it into control if you did lose everything, but it's not designed to do that. There are cases where it could, but that's sort of the split brain avoidance technology. Yes, you have to have enough disk at both ends. Sorry, his question was disk space replication. Is that correct? Or? Yeah. No, sorry, it does, for exchange it would push the memory across. Because you could have tons of emails stored in memory as they're being written to disk. Covered the split brain WAN implementation, as I mentioned before in some of the questions, it's DNS driven, so you have to have your DNS all set up correctly for failover. You're still running multiple NICs. There's a heartbeat NIC and a public traffic NIC. We did cover the covering of split brains, and ordering the appropriate licenses can be a little bit tricky if it's your first time. You do need, as I said, the heartbeat license, an application module license. You probably want some application module extensions. The data rollback is something you may want depending on your situation. And your low bandwidth module. Make sure you know exactly what you need, and that's where the testing and planning phase comes in. It's hard to go back to the well for more money. Here's some links. I believe all the presentations are coming up on the web, and they said they'd be up within a couple hours of the presentation being done. Any other questions? Yes. I don't know that, sorry. I can find that out for your 301. Roughly you're going to be, you think the heartbeat is around $6,000 US for a single CPU, 10 for a dual CPU or something like that. Buy it for each site, yeah. You're into $20,000 roughly, I think, to start. Plus your consulting, plus your hardware. So it's still not a super cheap solution, but for what you're getting, it's a very cost-effective solution. I have not tried anything like that. His question was, can you use stuff like Hyper-IP, you said?
Yeah.
IP optimization solutions. I have not done any of that, so I wouldn't say yes or no. If you grab a card from that, I can find the answer for you and email it to you. It would be similar to an NSI double take solution. PlateSpin, as far as I know, they're doing a backup of a DMDK file and pushing it somewhere. So it's a stateless. This is stateful. So this is covering your exchange state. So it's not crashing a database or grabbing a crash consistent database as PlateSpin does. But NSI double take is one of those people that we did look at. It's going to depend on what version of Exchange you're running and how they're running. So someone running on a RPC, oh sorry, how does your Exchange client connect after a failure? What's the question? And that's going to depend. Someone in your building would probably have to reconnect, or it would flash down lost connectivity back, similar to a Microsoft cluster failover. Long distance, if you're failing over to another site, it's going to be a little bit slower than that. But you don't have to kill your Exchange through your Outlook session and bring it back up. So the question was, would you lose 5 minutes of data? It's going to depend on how things have gone away. If the server's crashing and it can replicate all the data out, you won't lose any data. The data should be somewhere. If it's data that's sort of stuck and in, hasn't gone out yet, you could lose a couple minutes of data. It all depends on how the crash happens and what happens. The site just dies and goes away and you're still getting data out. We haven't seen much data loss at all. It would happen if the site completely went away, if the building is just gone. Yep. The question was, can I scale beyond two nodes per application? The answer is no. It is a two-node solution, active-passive. You'd scale out in that solution, or in that case. So if you needed another Exchange server or another SQL cluster, or SQL server, you'd add another server and protect again. If you had a server failover, you could set it up locally, but no, that's sorry. If you have a server, a physical hardware server go, you have to fail over to the far side, or if you're on a VMware, you could bring it up on another box. Yes. Depending on how you set up your threshold, we have tested that where if you set up your threshold, you would lose your application for 5 minutes while it reboots. But server A crashes, it powers it back up, and you just make sure your passive node doesn't turn itself on. Yep. No. Sorry, the question was, can you have multiple passive nodes? You're saying you can? Okay. Goes away. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Has that changed now as well? So where is the other one? I hadn't heard that myself either from our never fail rep. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. You fail back and forth is one way. How do you handle patches to the servers? So you can fail back and forth. If you have outage time, you can bring it down, patch it, bring it back up. That's going to follow your typical patch architecture. Yes. The question was, if one server blue screens, does the other server bring that blue screen off? No. Unless, I guess, it was data that caused, so if your Exchange database was corrupted and that's what caused the blue screen somehow. I haven't really seen that myself, but if that were the case, it's theoretically possible, but I would say chances are not. Any other questions? Yep. DLL? This uses the never fail heartbeat to fail it over. So it uses its own application to trigger the failover. The heartbeat says move the service. Yes. No, so it's not a cluster. It is not a cluster, it's a mirror of your server. Exactly. Any other questions? Thank you very much.